Spirit that is living inside of us. So that's a good thing. Well, good morning. My name is Marichelle, for those of you who don't know me. And today is a great day. Are you excited? Excited? I'm excited because it's Christmas. It's this Christmas season. And, you know, I need to be aware also that not in this season that not everybody is going to be joyous. And not everybody is going to have a great moment in their family time and everything like that. So I'm just conscious of that, that we are to shine the light of Jesus in those spaces and in those worlds. So how many more days before Christmas?
13.
13 days. Are you guys counting? Have you done all your Christmas shopping? No, for those last minute thing, 24th of December, sometimes they always come through, don't they? So I have a bittersweet relationship in the month of December, because December is a crazy month for me. Crazy month with everything that's happening with kids and graduation and here at church, working, lots of things happening, events, and you got to organize all of that sort of stuff. And it's so sometimes tiring, but I love the season. I love the decoration. I love how it brings. And I started to just like Christmas. I never used to, but when you have kids, it brings out the joy that Christmas brings. And so if you're new to this church, the whole month of December, we try and, you know, get a theme together and we put the decorations up. We put lots of things so we can be joyous, you know, so we can have some of that festivities that's happening in your workplaces and everything else. And so the theme that we want to focus on this month of December is grace among us. Grace among us. We will be talking all things Jesus, which is a good thing. Because the reality is, there's no Christmas without Christ. There's no Christmas without Christ. You know, Jesus didn't come for a season, but he came for a reason. And that song, This Little Light of Mine, is such a good thing for us to be reminded that in this season, that Jesus came for a reason for us to shine his light that he's given us to the world. We need to remember that in this ever commercialized, consumer-driven society that we live in, that Christmas is all about Jesus. So let me encourage you today, don't be so caught up with the presents, but let's get caught up in his presence. And last week, Pastor Tony launched a theme of grace among us, and he preached a brilliant message called Love Reach Down. And today I get the privilege to share the Word of God with you, and I want to talk to you on the topic of light of the world. Over 2,000 years ago, something happened that caused our world to be interrupted and change its whole meaning. The message of Christmas is that the light turned on. The message of Christmas is that Jesus fully lit for the world to see. Fully lit. I was talking to my daughter about using these words and terminology, and says, Mum, please don't say that. It's fully lit. But Jesus fully lit the world. And it changed the world and it echoed throughout eternity. And I don't have to tell you right now that we live in a dark world. Certainly over the times and as I was growing up and even the last few years, our world has gotten darker. We may not see it in Facebook, we may not see it or hear it on the news, but things are really ramping up because that's been prophesied in the Bible that, you know, the world is going to get dark. There have been events in our life, I'm sure if I gave you the microphone this morning that, hey, what's going on in my life? Like, is there anything else that can happen? Is there anything else? Can this get any worse? Can this get any darker? And you go, yeah, I don't know. But we need to remember that at the beginning of the Bible, this was recorded in Genesis 1:2. And let me read it to you. It says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that it was good." You know, church, today we need this great light. The world needs this great light. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface today. He is hovering over our lives, over our churches, over our family, over our relationships, over our friendships. He's hovering on the surface today. And He wants to awaken us and utter those words again and say to us, "Let there be light." Yeah. I'm just not talking about physical light this morning. I'm talking about spiritual light. You see, some of our light has actually gone dim. Over the years, like I said to you before, life happens to us, and the life and the light that has shone so brightly in our lives has kind of turned a little bit dim. I don't know about you, but when you're at your house, if you have like those lights and has a dimmer, it just gone a little bit dim. It's gone a little bit dull. Some of us have grown accustomed to the darkness. Some of us here are living in the dark. For those of you who are online this morning, you may have experienced darkness. And living in the dark, and we have this dark spaces and places in our hearts and minds, and we have somehow grown desensitized to the dark things of the world. So I believe this message this morning is very apt, and I believe that God is hovering over us today, and He wants to wake us up. And He says, "Let there be light." And I want to prophesy that over to you today. I want to declare that with you and proclaim that to you over today, that God's going to turn your light on this morning. That those things that the dark spaces and places that you feel that are going dark, He's going to turn it on. Because it just takes one word, the word, the light of His life, and it's just going to switch on. Let there be light. Lord God, I thank You for Your word today. Father, I thank You that Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. And Lord, I pray for this word that's going to bring forth, may it produce what you have sent it. And Lord, I pray for ears to be open. I pray for eyes to be open, and that, Lord, You will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your Bible, if you have a Bible, or if you have your iPhone and everything, but the Scripture is going to be projected in there, in Matthew 5:14-16. And I want to read this to you in the New King James. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I want to unpack this passage of Scripture because it has so much meaning into it. And I want you to notice some of the words that it says. It says, "You are." You are the light of this world. So what this says to me and to us is that we are, right in this present time, right at this moment, that we are the light of the world. It didn't say you ought to be the light of the world.
No.
It says for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this because Jesus believed that you are going to be part of the solution into this dark world. And so sometimes I have this thing in my head and I say, "God, like I've mentioned before, can this get any worse? Can what I'm experiencing right now can get any darker?" And Jesus has whispered to me, and I dare say that He's going to whisper the same thing to you. He said, "You are the light. You are the light of the world. You have the light in you. So this tells me that you and I have a responsibility about the light that we have been given. This is just a diversion, but I was watching Spider-Man the other night, and it says, you know, with great knowledge comes great responsibility. I think that's what Peter Parker says, but anyway, that's just a thing. But we have been given a responsibility, and we have been equipped to be the light of this world. You know, light is very important to us. Light gives clarity. Light gives direction. Light illuminates. Light reflects. Light reveals. Light gives life. And the light in our lives help those around us to find a way through the darkness and points them toward the life that God is wanting to give them. John 1:4 says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His light brought light to everyone." We are light bearers. We are light bearers that God chose to reveal Himself in the context of life. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but I love photos. I'm a photo freak, as some would say I am. I would take photos just about anything. I take photos with food, take photos of, you know, cockroach that's dead. I don't know, like just anything, really. Like, I take everywhere I go, like in the restaurant, like you'd ask my friends, I will take a photo of each meal. Why would you do that? I mean, that just sounds weird, right? But for me, I take photos because I want to remember the moment. I want to remember the moment that gave me pleasure, that gave me happiness, that gave me joy. And I want to cherish those memories. And so, you know, my phone is always filled with photos, and like is already like, oh, can't take anymore. The cloud is like fully like thing you have to download. And I just don't get a chance to do it. It's like 10,000 photos or something, and, you know, there's not so many gigs. But, you know, I'm not a professional photographer, but we all know that without light, not a single picture can be taken. Without light, there is no picture. I want you to try taking a photo when it's dark. I wonder what comes out. Now, this word light in Greek, I'm into Greeks at the moment, but maybe because I'm, you know, I want to go to Greece one day. Is Greek is in pos, P-H-O-S. Theo's looking at me thinking, what are you talking about? The word is, it's the root of where we get a photo or a photograph from. And so Jesus is basically telling us that you are the photograph of me, of this dark world. A photo, a clear picture of me. And so the question I want to pose this morning to each and every one of us here today and online is that I wonder if we're giving a clear photograph, a clear representation of Jesus. Right. I wonder if we're giving a fuzzy picture of who Jesus is in the world. Is it out of focus? Is it fuzzy? Is it blurred? I wonder if when people look at us, do they see a crystal clear picture of who Jesus is? That's a thought for you to ponder. So I want to unpack this passage of scripture, and I want you to come away with these two things. Light reveals truth, and light exposes darkness. You know, the way we know if we are being a clear picture of Jesus to this dark world, we need to ask two questions. Are we revealing truth? And are we exposing darkness? What I find interesting in all of this passage of scripture is that when I came across and had a look at John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. Right? Notice it says the light, not a light. But then in Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. So which one is it, Jesus? Are you the one or am I the one? Like, does it get confusing? But I want you to capture this. Jesus is like the sun, S-U-N. And we are like the moon. The moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects light of the sun. The only time that the moon doesn't reflect the light of the sun is during an eclipse. Have you seen an eclipse? That is when the world gets in between the sun and the moon and it keeps it from reflecting the light. Today when I was preparing this message, I was inspired by some thoughts as well, is that there are some of us here today and who are watching online who are experiencing a spiritual eclipse in your life. The light has gone off. I know it's not fully dark in here, but I want to make a point. The light is dim. Some of us have been accustomed in living in the dark that we don't even know when the light's turned on, whether it's still there or not. When there is darkness, you stumble. When there is darkness, you get confused. When there is darkness, people grope around. And you know, in this world, people are stumbling. People are groping. People in the dark. Bad things happen when it's dark. And so today, I wanted to just show something. One light can make a difference. When I was young, like people, like some of my friends, they go like this and they make it like you're like a ghost or something. But anyway, so this light, I'm going to shine it right your eyes. I'm not going to shine on your eyes because that might be, you know, trigger something. But one light can make a difference. This. That's, if you have two lights, it make a whole lot of difference. You turn the light back on, please. And so when we talk about the light brings meaning. The light brings clarity. And I don't know about you, but when I was a little girl, I hated sleeping in the dark. I hate dark rooms. It makes me claustrophobic. It makes me nauseous. It makes me anxious. And I've always wanted a little light on. You know this night light? So I know nothing that is around me that will scare me or that will creep or anything like that. And there are times when I wake up in the middle of the night, now that I'm an adult, I do a little fast walk so I can turn a light switch on. Because not because that I'm scared, well, maybe I am really, but so I can see what's happening in and around my atmosphere environment. And some of us here need to do a little quick walk to turn the light on. Some of us are experiencing spiritual eclipse in our life. You have allowed the world to get in between you and Jesus. What do you mean? It's not on the screen with me, but I'm just going to quickly go over this. Is that in Mark 4, Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, where the seed fell among the thorns and the messages crowded out and the worries of this world and the worries of this life choked the message. And then he talked about the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things have come in and choke, has come in between you and Jesus so that no fruit is produced. You are being unfruitful. I wonder if I ask you today, what is the fruit of your life? What fruits are you bearing? What are the things that are actually can be seen? Can people pick from your fruit? Can they actually go, this fruit I'm going to pick, is it going to be sweet or is it going to be tart? Is it going to be bitter? Because see, Jesus in the end is going to be, he's going to be the gardener and he's going to want to know he can pick from your fruit. And so my question this morning is that, can people pick the fruit? Sometimes we don't get to reflect Jesus, and I wonder if these things that I've mentioned before, the worries of this life, the worries and deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things can come and choke you and come between you and Jesus. Some of us here today came here worried about what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen when the borders are open, what's going to happen on your next meal, what's going to happen, all these sort of things. You worry, worry, worry. You worry about your job, you worry about your kids, you worry about money, you worry about everything. You come like a worry wart. Can I just say, don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry. You know what worry produces? Wrinkles. Wrinkles. Worry produces wrinkles. You're going to go like this. You're going to go like this. My sister-in-law used to do this because she like go like this all the time, so she does that. But worry. God says, don't worry. Sometimes as believers and a follower of Jesus live worrying. We know and we sing this song called, you know, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. You know, promise keeper, light in the darkness. But sometimes it's like we're living, as I would term it, as a practicing atheist. We live as though he doesn't exist. Worry is one of the things that can cause an eclipse in our spiritual walk. Maybe it's not worry. Maybe it's what Jesus pointed out about the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, money has a way of deceiving us into thinking that the more we have, the more happier we will be. So you go from one job to the next and job to the next and then knowing that it's not, the grass is not greener on the other side. So it's not always the way. If it's not the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth, then what about what I've highlighted is that the desire for other things. You know, a few years ago, there are people sitting in these seats just like you are that are like done an AWOL. Absence without leave. It's like, well, you know, oh, hey, how you going? Oh, look, I haven't seen you for a long time. What's been happening? You know, like I missed you at church. And it says, well, you know, it's just life, hey, it's just been so busy, like things, like the kids have just got soccer and things are going on in my life and just, you know, and it's just, yeah, life. The desire for others. Oh, you know, Sunday, we don't get family time now, so we just thought we'd go on the beach and everything like that and just to spend time as a family. Yeah. Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
The desire for other things. And Jesus warned us about that. So I wonder if any of those has caused an eclipse in our lives. And Jesus is telling us today that you are the light of the world. So I want 3 points for you to take home today. Be the light. Easy. Be the light. So easy to say, right? But sometimes hard to do. Be a reflector of God's light. Stop talking about the light, but be it. Jesus did not ask us to do something that he hasn't already done. Like he says, like be the light. He was the light. He is the light. He's the source of the light. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, he didn't say, you know, I loved you first so you can love others. Yeah. You know, he did not give us an assignment or a mission to accomplish so that we can be doing it for ourselves. He has equipped us. He has given us the power. He has given us the light to do that. It's just like saying, like, you know, concept of I am, so you are. We are to carry the light wherever we go. We've got to show the light, live the light, show off the light. Don't turn your light off in an area where people need it to be shone in. You know, the stronger the light, the clearer the reflection, especially on a place or object which stands in darkness. Jesus alone is the true light, and we are its reflection. Do you know that we cannot reflect on others a light which does not reach us? Brighten up the world by reflecting who I am. You know, my daughter Hannah, I was talking to her about this in this sermon I'm talking, and she said, Mom, why don't you say this? She said, don't let the light from your phone be the only light that reflects on your face. How about that, eh? Don't let the light from your phone be the only light that reflects on your face. That's from a 14-year-old. Next point, don't hide your light. Verse 14, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Basically, what Jesus is referring to here is that we can't hide a city that's on a hill. It has a panoramic view. It has a 360-degree view. So you can't hide it. When you have the light of Jesus inside of you, you can't hide it. Because what purpose is the light that you have, if you're going to hide it or cover it? Like an example of this. You know, for parents to be, they try and hide when they're pregnant. They try and hide it by wearing loose clothing. And they try and, you know, just pretend that their arms are folded and so you can't really see. But, you know, you can't hide it. Because there is a glow about you. People know. People know the glow. People know the glow. Renee, you're glowing. And you know, sometimes I pick it. I know when you're pregnant, when you not even know you're pregnant. I do. And I, you know, ask my nephew, Tamara. Ask Tamara. I pick it. All the time. Niece. Is that niece? Is that my niece? Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. But some people hide it. But you can't hide the Jesus that's in you. It's like you'll find this in the workplace. You'll find that people will start to say, there's something about you. There's something about you, Denley. There's something about that that's glowing in you. Like, there's just that, the Jesus in you that's glowing. You know, there's something different about you. I want to have what she's having. There's a movie, sorry, I don't know. But stop trying to hide the light. Stop trying to hide the light. Stop trying to hide your light. Because in verse 15 it says, the light shines in the darkness. Hang on, where is this? What's going on now? Can you please turn on verse 15? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Okay? And it gives light to all who are in the house. Now, that's a powerful passage right there, because I want you to get that when you think about the light, Where do you find it? Where do you find the light here? Do you find it up, right? You never would never find a light that's under you. That would be weird. Like, what are you trying to illuminate? It's just like the light is shining so that you can see. And so, because light is meant to illuminate, it's meant to shine. It's on top so that it can give light to all who are in the house. Where's my scripture? Can you find it, please? And so we need to understand where you are in your workplace, in your university, in your school. You are the light. You are the light that people want to see. Don't despise where you are and think this job is so boring. I could, you know, like pull my hair out. It's just so frustrated. People are just so annoying. Don't despise where you are, where you work, because you are being positioned for such a time as that so that you can be a light to their world, to their darkness. God's going to pull you out of the bushes and place you on a lampstand. You're going to be the light in your household. God's going to use you to be a light to your family and friends. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Right. Whenever there's light, encounters darkness, darkness is dispelled. Yes. John 1:4. The light shines into darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Thank you. Yes. The prophet Isaiah declared this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness upon the people, darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will shine upon you." So arise and shine, church. Arise and shine, for your light has come. There's no undercover Christians. There's no secret agent or missions that you need to be hiding your light from. Like, people would want to hide what they like, but why? Why would you want to do that? 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, "For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night." Let's go back in our main text in Matthew, and I want to close this off for my third point. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives the light to who are in the house. Verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." My third point and my last point this morning is shine your light. Yeah. Let your light so shine. You see that word again? The word "so," which I shared last week in my offering message. I only saw it this week. So, it's like, it says, "Let your light so shine," which is houtos. It's how. How will you let your light shine? The purpose of this light is for all men or people to see Jesus. The challenge is that some of us get so wound up about the things that's happening in our lives, the worries and the cares and everything else, that we don't have time to actually think about others. You know, the Christmas kindness that's been posted up on our Facebook page, it's not something for you to just be entertained and create another post, or, you know, but that post is a reminder for us to be kind. To be kind. And it's about good works. Do you know what good works is? It's not just about volunteering your time or serving. But good works is doing something to someone else that cannot repay you back. When Jesus lives in you and you have his light, you can't help but do good works. People need to see good works. Why? Because people can't see your faith. If you go out here today, shops, whatever cafes, whatever you want to do, you look at people, you don't see their faith, do you? Ephesians 3:17, Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he who's in the world. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the conclusion of what I'm trying to say is that personal faith is internal and public faith is external. And the result is in verse 16, is to glorify your Father in heaven. You know, in the Greek, glorify means doxozo. It means to honor, to make glorious. When we do those good works for the world to see, they will make a beautiful doxology of our Father in heaven. Sometimes people want to say, hey, thank you for doing that. Thank you, and give your partner back and everything. And sometimes we'll go, oh, no, 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 it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Can you not be too super spiritual? People want to see the Jesus, and you are the Jesus. You are the representation, a photograph of Jesus for the world to see. People want to see the tangible things. So people don't see your faith, but they see the good works that you do.
Yes.
Philippians 2:15, it says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. You know, throughout the month of December, we did a call out for our outreach project. And we ask people to, you know, when you're going shopping, just to grab a couple more things to add to our basket for Christmas hampers to give away. We also asked you and gave you an opportunity to give a gift for the kids whose parents are incarcerated. And, you know, it doesn't have to cost much. But those things, those good works. And thank you for all of those who participated and contributed in some way. And, you know, you may never know the people that receive the hamper. You may never know the kids who will receive your gift, but they will remember how it made them feel. It will remember that someone out of their also in need actually took the time to dig deep out of their pockets and do something for the community. They'll remember that someone generous and kind, and it's the answer to their prayer. You know, sometimes people often make Christmas about a season. But like I said before, Jesus came for a reason. Don't get caught up in the reason. Jesus came for a reason, and that is to shine the light of Christ in you. I heard this statement and I thought it was brilliant. It says, while I certainly want to see Christ in Christmas, I'd rather see Christ in Christians. So let me wrap up with this. You're being handed today a candle. You know, there are 7.1 billion people on this earth. And there are billions of people who are sitting in darkness right now. And they need to see a great light. They need to see a clear, crystal clear picture of who Jesus is. And that's where we come in. I'm giving you one of this light as a reminder that you are the light of the world. So turn it on. Turn it on. You and I have a responsibility to usher the light that Jesus gave each and every one of us to be a light into this dark, dark world. This is not a toy for you to just go, oh, yep, that's great, that's nice, and then just put it. This is a symbol for you to remember that you are the light of the world. This is a symbol to remind you that you can light someone's world by turning your light on. And today, I know some of you are experiencing a spiritual eclipse. The light that once shone so brightly has become dim. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to get it right. To get it right. I want to encourage you to come and get prayed for. In this season of Christmas, there will be people in your world that don't have the light of Christ. And if your light is dim, how can you shine that light? You never want to leave here the same way as you came in. If you don't know Jesus today and you don't know what I'm talking about, the light, He is the light. Turn it on. Your life is so dark, you need to turn the light on. And I've been praying for you this week that the light of your eyes, the light of your heart will be turned on, switched on. And you know, God can quickly do that. But you gotta have faith to step out. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Christianity versus churchianity. Christianity is about relationship with Jesus. And some of you need your light turned back on. So the creative team is going to bless us with an item this morning called Light of the World. You can stand, you can sit, you can just ponder these thoughts that I've shared with you this morning. And if you want to come out here and get your life right, then I encourage you to do so. If you know in your heart that you are not right and that your light is turned off or it's gone dim, then I need you to come to the front and people, our team will be praying for you. So that in this season, in this coming days, where your light needs to shine brightly, you will be that.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that this morning? Thanks, creative team.
Light of love.
Thank you. Why don't you stand to your seats, please? Right across the hall. Everyone stand to your seat. Lift up your light nice and high. Come on, we started this service today before Pastor Marichelle preached. And we did that old song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that's what this season is all about. It's letting the light of Christ who is in you, let it shine, let it shine brightly. And this is just a little reminder for you to take with you, for you to hang on to it all over the Christmas period, to remember to shine all things Jesus. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So let your little light shine. Let it shine. How do you do that? What does the Greek word hutos mean? You let it shine by doing good works, by being kind, by being nice, by being thoughtful, by being mindful, by being merciful, by loving, by caring, and by sharing, by being the church. My light just went out. By being the church. What a great word. Give Pastor Marichelle a big hand. Good on you, Pastor Marichelle. Let your light shine. Tonight, 5 p.m. till 7 p.m., we're going to be at the front of the building. We're going to have a jumping castle. We're going to have the barbecue on. This is going to be a relaxed evening of fun for a couple of hours. Where we're going to give away, we've got about 200 hampers to give away to our community tonight. So make sure you bring your friends, your neighbors, your family. Throw an ad up on Facebook for us if you would. Let people know. And that'll go from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. tonight. Light to the world, an opportunity just to shine and be nice to people. Our cafe's open for hospitality right now. Stay behind, have a coffee, grab some food, make some new friends today. Also, our food co-op is open if you want to do a quick shop in terms of getting your supplies. That's open straight after the service for a little bit. God bless you. Thank you very much for being with us today. Have an amazing week. Thank you very much. God bless.